Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Duke Health, offering food, medication delivery, and transportation to communities hardest hit by COVID-19. It's all through a special partnership with North Carolina agencies and 16 community-based organizations. Learn more about Duke's COVID-19 response at dukehealth.org.
This is Tested from WUNC, a look at how we're responding to the day's challenges in North Carolina and the South. I'm Rusty Jacobs. One of the economic sectors gut-punched by the COVID-19 pandemic was independent live music venues, ostensibly shut down by limits on crowd sizes. But as case numbers decline and public health restrictions lift, clubs in North Carolina and across the country are scheduling indoor on-site performances for the first time in more than a year. The coffee bar at Saxapahaw's Haw River Ballroom hasn't served paying customers since mid-March 2020.
Same time as the ballroom, we shut it all down together because we're linked in one ballroom box, and the coffee shop has just been a way to have an open space for the community to gather.
But the shutdown hasn't stopped Heather Lagarde from using the coffee bar's espresso machine and serving up a cappuccino to an occasional guest.
Do you like a strong one?
Yeah. All right.
Frank, are you sure you don't want one?
Lagarde co-owns and operates the Haw River Ballroom with her husband, Tom. The ballroom can accommodate a crowd of 715 and anchors a mixed-use entertainment and cultural complex made out of a renovated cotton mill and dye house in the unincorporated village of Saxapahaw. For the first time in more than a year, the ballroom is preparing to welcome audiences back for outdoor concerts in August and indoor performances starting in September.
Just my whole throat closes up, or some kind of tight, wonderful, and apprehensive feeling happens as you think about being responsible for bringing people together to spaces. But at the same time, I cannot wait.
Sitting on a terrace overlooking the nearby Haw River on a warm June morning, Heather Lagarde and I were joined by Frank Heath, longtime owner-operator of Cat's Cradle, the famed Carrboro music venue. They looked back at the past 14 months and ahead to the return of on-site audiences.
The last show that we had that did happen was Destroyer on the 11th of March, which people were having a weird time that night. It was very...
In terms of?
Just paranoid about what the disease, you know, was, and whether they should buy a beer and where they should stand. I think everybody was happy to go home at the end of the night.
Our last show was March 6th, which was Mark Broussard, and that team had come in and we were talking with them about it, and they were not that well versed in what was going on. And while they were here, they found out that South by Southwest had been canceled, and they were just shattered, and spent the rest of the day on the phone with agents, and we were all sort of seeing how it was unraveling everywhere.
Yeah, the cancellation of South by Southwest was a big sort of wake-up call, I think, for everybody in the industry, because we, knowing how much goes into an event like that, we all could tell that it was serious.
Going back to that first, the outset, mid-March 2020, you know, at some point, or when did you realize that you were looking at a sustained stoppage, not something that was going to be fleeting? And when did you start to kind of grapple with how wide-reaching that might be, both in terms of your business and the people you serve, the people you employ?
I completely believed we'd be back in the fall. I thought testing would be there. I thought we'd have really quick rapid tests ready. I thought that's how it would go. I never thought a vaccine would happen this fast, but I did think much more efficient systems would be in place for testing. So my assumption in March was that we'd be closed until October.
The vaccine sort of, I think, surprised everybody when it actually happened at the end of the year. Because I was also thinking 2022 before we'd be back open by that time, by the end of last year.
You had to find a way to survive and to keep the doors open, or at least ready to be reopened when some of these restrictions have been lifted. So, Heather, you know, what was the Hall River Ballroom able to do to make it through?
We basically turned the ballroom into a sound and film stage for people. We felt like it was a safe place, and this is a space that artists come to sometimes to do rehearsals before shows or tours, and Saxbaugh is such a welcoming spot for people to come and stay in. So we ended up doing a number of concert films, so not the streaming.
And were you indeed able to generate helpful revenue?
No, not at all. No, that was really just a, it was very kind, and the bands gave what they could, and, you know, but it was, no, it was, you know, just not, not anything comparable to even one single show, really.
The model, I guess, was just trying to keep some of our staff busy and trying to, similar to what Heather was talking about, just engage with the bands and, you know, the musicians. If anybody was interested in doing a performance that would go out live over the internet, we're actively signing bands up to, you know, every weekend come up to the Cradle and play a set. But we, you know, managed to put a lot of great music. I mean, people were really excited about watching the streams. The Connells had 10,000, you know, people watch their live stream in October. Again, it didn't really raise any money to speak of for the club, but it helped to keep us occupied and to keep hope, you know, our hopes alive for the future of music.
I think everyone in the arts feels hesitant about complaining about anything when we're looking at mortality and people's lives and families. And at the same time, I do deeply believe, and I don't think any of us would be in this industry if we didn't really believe, that music and the arts brings people together.
Somewhere at the very outset of the pandemic, I recall seeing a video posted, maybe on Twitter or some social media platform, showing, I think it might have been Oakwood or some historic neighborhood in Raleigh, and some guy comes out with his guitar, starts playing Wagon Wheel, and every one of his neighbors, socially distanced, starts singing along. I mean, that's at the outset of the pandemic. I think about people in New York City, where I used to live, coming out on their terraces, banging pots and pans for health, in support of healthcare workers. I believe there was a video I saw from Italy, people coming out at dusk to sing or listen to an aria. There's something very elemental and primal about people wanting to come together and listen to music and sing together and make noise together. So while I think it's right, as you have done, to acknowledge that there is a much graver and steeper toll in for families and for people who've suffered illness as a result of this pandemic, there is something very important about coming together. And in that context, I wanted you to talk about the emergence that we're looking at, the return to live music and gathering in your, you know, your business.
I'm pretty certain that the first 2 months of shows here, I'll just be standing under the thrill sign, which is a sort of side stage, just crying through all the show, the first months of shows, just as will the artists, as will the audience. I think the kind of folks that come out for music here are really major music lovers, and to be able to be together in whatever way we have to do it when we see how that's going to be in September, it will be a healing thing. Music is that. And just to stand unified with a song, I'm hoping will help people get through what's been such an isolating, tough year.
One thing this has shown, all this has shown, is that music and music venues are really, you know, important to the sort of the social vibrancy of town, of, you know, towns, like be it Saxbaugh or be it Raleigh.
Very important, because you're both instrumental in the North Carolina chapter or division of the National Independent Venues Association, right, NIVA.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about, just if you can, talk about, Frank, the galvanizing effect that the pandemic has had on you and your fellow club operators, and what you're looking forward to in terms of either state or federal assistance.
After I had sort of postponed and canceled over 100 dates, it became clear that, you know, there was going to be a lot of free time. So, and then some club owners around the country who were probably more capable of organizing and you know, thinking outside the box began brainstorming on how we could keep venues going.
Were you able to leverage any assistance from state, federal government as through the work of NEVA?
One of the key things that NEVA did when it started was to hire, you know, spend what money was available on hiring Aiken Gump, which is, you know, a very capable group that lobbies Congress. And they pretty much strategized with us every day to figure out what needed to be done in terms of contacting representatives and senators.
So what is the result? So have clubs like yours seen any money yet from either state or federal government, or will you be seeing it?
We haven't seen a penny yet, but there's a promise from the head of the SBA last week that it was coming. So,
and tell me about that, just for someone who doesn't know, the SBA has promised grants.
There are grants for independent music venues.
But my understanding is up to 45% of 2019 gross revenue?
That's correct. Yeah, so it's a sizable, you know, grant for any venue.
You don't know when you're getting or what you're getting.
Or if.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's so this bill was approved. It was SOS and it became SVOG, so Shuttered Venue Organizers Grant. And it expanded beyond just independent venues. Operators Grant, right? Shuttered Venue Operators Grant. And expanded beyond just indie venues into small museums and indie movie theaters and a few other performing arts kinds of organizations. And that was approved at $16 billion in December. And was expected to have been delivered long ago, but has just been delayed.
Before wrapping up my visit with Heather Lagarde and Frank Heath, I asked them which particular acts they were looking forward to seeing and hearing when live indoor performances resume in their venues.
So many. I mean, we're going to have nights, weeks where we have show after show, which for us out here is not really that normal. And I just can't wait. But I will say Waxahachie is a super meaningful one because that was one of the shows we did have booked, already sold out and had to cancel and then reschedule and then come back. And that was relaunched and sold out in a matter of days. And so it was the first one where we felt like, okay, people feel safe to return. I'm in England.
There's a ton of great concerts coming up, so I hate to pick and choose, but we have one of my favorites, James McMurtry, playing at the Arts Center. That's a Cat's Cradle promoted show in September, and then Psychedelic Furs at the Cat's Cradle in November.
Another thing Heather Lagarde is looking forward to is taking visiting bands out for kayak tours of the Haw River, one of the perks of playing the ballroom. She says some artists have sharper outdoor skills than others.
Fantagram, those guys are just crazy athletes, group love, super, super fast. We lost Ketch from Ketch and Critter. We had to send a drone out to go find him. He went so far. I usually go with them, but sometimes we send him out with other folks. And I kayak out here every day, so it's just such a big part of Saxbaha. And it's the reason we named the Haw River Ballroom the Haw River Ballroom, because the Haw River is such an essential part of Saxbaha and of our own lives. And so the connection to the river is a big part of what we feel we have to offer when bands are going on a pretty intensive tour and want to come somewhere where they can really have a break.
Come hear Uncle John's band by the riverside. Got some things to talk about here beside the rising tide.
That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Rusty Jacobs. Thanks for listening. Hope you'll join us again soon.
Come on along or go alone. He's come to take his job.